What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
We are Dukes and Bell. Normally, we do our Falcon Report in the 5 o'clock hour. Everything's been pushed up, guys, because we're done at 5 because we've got the pregame show. As a matter of fact, Bo Morgan, that is, and Mike Johnson will have the pregame for you. Grant's going to have the halftime and the postgame with Mike Johnson. But all of that has been pushed up, so we start off every day and every hour by saying, Hey, man. It's good to have you listening. And we've been having some fun conversations today. If you are just joining us, we will get back into the punishment for Michigan football, which is eye-opening. And I say that because the punishment itself, it's a lot of money. There are a lot of tentacles to this, but Mike and I have opinions about it, and we're going to tell you what we think as this came down today. Michigan receives a series of fines that could eclipse $30 million to avoid punitive penalties, such as a postseason ban, which is not what happened. All right, but before we get to that, Steve Coonan is on the way here in less than 7 minutes. Mike, what are we looking for tonight? Because a guy asked me, he says, okay, guys, we were up there. I was on the hill with my boys, and we saw you guys. He said, a big shout out to Dukes and Bell. We saw you guys every day we were up there. I guess they were up there multiple days. We were there all the time. But he said, we were up there on the hill. And he said, I saw a lot from what we were able to gather. What am I looking for like tonight? And I simply said to him, look, there's probably three battles on the defensive side. You're still talking about the linebacker spot. You're still talking about safety with Xavier Watts. What's D. Alford's role? What's going to happen? They did sign a corner yesterday. We talked about Henderson. And then, Mike, you know, you talk about with the rotations on this interior line. Dorless played well last week, but there's some other guys that need to really step up, I think, when you talk about what this rotation is going to look like. So I said to him, that's kind of what I'm looking at. But again, I don't know how many of those guys are going to play in the second preseason game. My guess is, though, if you're battling for a position, you're probably going to see some time tonight.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We talked a lot about the defense, and we'll get into some of the defensive pieces you just talked about. But I would say the offensive line depth, because it's so crucial, is that you don't think about it until somebody goes down. And I've always felt, you know, as much as I criticize Fontenot for sometimes how he drafts, he's cobbled together some really good depth. When Storm Norton had to take over for Caleb McGarry, you know, he's actually been able to step up in the past. You know, when Ryan Neusel had to step in, right? When Drew Dahlman got injured, he did the job. But when you look past that, Javon Gwynn has not looked great. It was really ugly last week against the Lions. It was ugly at times with our second offensive line going up against the Titans' second team. So they picked up a guy, what is it, Jake Hansen?
Yes.
Who can play guard and center. But I think Brandon Parker, you'll see him tonight. He's huge. You can't miss him. He's like Jonathan Ogden size. Doesn't play like him yet. But, I mean, I need to see the second team offensive line kind of solidified, because, you know, there are always invariably injuries other than the 16th season when we kept that whole unit together until, unfortunately, you know, our center, remember, busted up his leg at the second half of the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And Alex Mack.
Mack, yeah, and it certainly played a role. My takeaways are going to simply be progress with some of the guys that we're looking at. To Mike's point, if we're watching certain guys on that O-line, how should they play? How much better do they play versus what we saw this week? And then how does that, you know, equate to them making this team? Because, again, everybody's not making this team, guys. And that's a good place to be. Like, a few years ago, it was literally like, we need guys to make this team because we don't have a lot of money. Now we're in a situation where, to your point about depth, Mike, as we were saying, we started the show, it feels like, okay, and the season's going to dictate this, but it feels like we've got a little bit more than what we've had, and that makes me feel comfortable knowing, all right, we can go a couple of different places if things happen on the defense. Offensively, yeah, right now I'm praying like nothing happens to this starting offensive line, because I'm not trusting a whole lot with what I've seen with the second O-line. And that is probably why, Mike, and I don't know if you agree, we probably won't see Kirk Cousins. If Cousins plays, guys, it's my guess that he told Ra he wanted to.
Yeah, man. And as I just said, if you're going to throw him out in front of that offensive line, yikes.
Yeah.
You know, unless you're going to put him in, you know, body armor. I don't know if that's the NFL allows that.
Get a body bag.
You know, and now here comes Kirk Cousins, and he looks like, oh, he looks like he's dressed in the Hurt Locker uniform as he comes out. You know, that's bomb disposal. So, yeah, I don't think that's a good idea. And in the meantime, Easton Stick does have starting experience, as we mentioned, in the Chargers last year when Herbert went down. So, hey, you know, if he continues to show out under those circumstances, and we talk about the line and the run game is a bit negligible, you're feeling a little bit better if by chance the opportunity comes to trade Kirk Cousins between now and the trade deadline.
Yeah, that and that's part of this evaluation. 404-726-0929. You can text us, tweet at us. You can find us 92.9 The Game and Dukes and Bell, and let us know what you're thinking. And you know the relationship, by the way, and we're not going to see this either tonight, but we don't need to. At least Mike and I don't. You're going to, and you're going to love it. And we're talking about the relationship between Penix and Drake London, the constant and consistent communication that we've observed between those two. Mm. On and off the field, for Michael Penix to tell us, you know, in the offseason when they got those guys together and how they you know, it was a goal for them to get a chance to work out a few times and get some rhythm. And that's why he says he's not worried about Darnell coming back, because he knows how he runs his routes and he knows where he'd like to get the ball. He says, it's my job to get it there. But I'm just telling you guys, like, that's going to be something when the season starts, Mike, immediately I think Falcon fans are going to be talking about. And, you know, on Mondays after these games, we come in and we're talking to you guys about where our team is. It's going to be something you guys are going to be mentioning, because I think it's going to be evident that Penix is getting the ball. Mike's been using the phrase, thanks to West Durham, 9 to 5, as much as possible. As much as possible, Mike.
Right. And I think that's something that you mentioned, Casey. Now, by the way, do you think they – use Casey Washington to continue to prove he's worthy of being the replacement for Darnell Mooney until he's back? Or do you say, I don't want to risk him getting hurt? Obviously, I mean, because that is a legitimate concern. Well, we spoke to Chris Blair.
That's right. Right. Yeah.
And he's certainly, you know, solid. We call him DS5, David Sills the Fifth, our good friend Kadarrell Hodge. They do have some dudes. But, yeah, I would be curious to see – you know, if they do feel that, you know, if you don't see Casey out there, then that means Mooney's not coming back anytime soon.
No, and I do think the guys you're talking about, Seals and Blair, they are battling for position. That's the stuff I'm talking about. Like, those are guys I'm watching tonight. Blair had a really good game, the first game. Caught a touchdown, talked to us about how he, you know, ran the route and was hoping to show his quarterback, hey, I'm open, and they got him the ball. But, yeah, I think those guys will see more significant time than maybe even Washington. Or certainly Cordell Hodge. Listen, I think Cordell Hodge's value around the other stuff, you're not risking him. You're not going to – there's no reason to play right. Cordell Hodge in a game where you're not playing your other star, and you know he's so vital to what you do from a special team standpoint. I don't think that they're worried about that. And plus, Mike, I think, you know, Cordell Hodge has got a roster spot. He's right. going to be here. These other guys, I think we're talking about – we may be talking about two spots – for that receiver that you're talking right. about with Mooney here, because Mooney's, guys, he's under contract. Whether he's hurt or not, he's going to be back at some point. But you're talking about two probably other spots and three or four guys vying for that.
Right. So that's, you know, that's an area of intrigue. The corners are banged up. We talked about the rib injury. Who was it? Clark Phillips Jr., Kobe Bryant, who we've liked watching him. You know, he's probably one of the more highly touted undrafted free agents, if there's such a thing, out of Kansas. He's got a hamstring. So if you see the Titans maybe light us up, that's because the corners are kind of, you know, maybe not the best unit necessarily right now because of the injuries. But then it gets back to what you talked about. How does Brandon Dorlus continue to respond? How does, you know, Cedar Groves, D'Angelo Malone step up? Because now he's maybe found himself a niche as the, you know, inside linebacker. So, you know, there's a guy I'd love to see him kind of, you know, he's been around for a couple of years, step up in that role. The other guys, the Zach Harrison, who's playing inside, TQ Graham, you know, you mentioned young Khalid Kareem, who was the brains behind the CMB, you know, different guy. But if you want to look, if you're looking for edge in the backup, I think that's our strongest unit, those guys.
I do too. I do too. Yeah, it was Khalid, right? Is that what it,
yeah,
that's what
yeah,
it was?
That's Khalid. I said Khalid. Yeah. It's Khalid. Yeah.
We were talking about that the
DJ
other day.
DJ Khalid Kareem.
When Andy and Randy had a chance to visit with him. So if you are saying, hey, what should I be watching? We just gave you a bunch of stuff. And the thing about this is depth and having guys where you have no fall off once you have to use them. And if you're going to make this team, again, you know, it sounds like a lot of guys, but everybody's got a role, man. And you just don't know when your number's going to be called. So I do think guys that will play will go out there and try to establish themselves, and it should be good. And as we mentioned, Cam Ward, it sounds like he's going to hit some reps. But, you know, I only mention that because the Titans are like a three-point favorite, and the only reason you would do that is just because you're going to start Cam over, well, you know, our guy's not playing. 404-726-0929. We got a lot more to dive into. We're going to talk with Steve Coonan. Hawks schedule came out yesterday. We'll dive into that because everybody's looking at this and going, okay, is this a schedule we can maneuver into a top four spot in the Eastern Conference? We'll see what Steve Coonan thinks about that. And stay tuned. Big news in college football. We'll fill you in. It's Dukes and Bell.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Get your tickets now. We're talking about our Atlanta Hawks. Schedule's out. Schedule released yesterday. Steve Coonan, Hawks CEO, joining us here on Dukes and Bell. And Steve, everybody was combing over this thing like a fine-tooth comb, right? Going, oh, that's a tough stretch. Oh, and it starts with five of our first seven away from State Farm Arena. But, look, everybody's excited about Porzingis and Nikhil Alexander-Walker and Luke Kennard being added to this team and the potential of what this Hawks squad can look like. What were your initial thoughts when you saw the schedule?
Well, we've been working on it for a couple of weeks. The NBA sends us an advance copy about, oh, first of all, hello, how are you today?
Hello!
Hey!
Hello, my favorites. Sends us a copy of the schedule about 10 days out, and we go back and forth. Like, for example, the first copy we saw, the Orlando road game that now gives us a back-to-back against Orlando and OKC, that Orlando game wasn't there. So that's, you know, that's tough right there. You play Orlando, who's definitely on the upswing, and OKC back-to-back, and you've got to travel. You know, would have preferred that stay away. And we worked with them on some times. They had an MLK game starting at noon, which is way too early. You got to let, you know, you got to let the day come to you. So that'll tip about 1:20. And then we're playing New Year's Eve against Minnesota. They had that as a night game, and we've worked with them in Minnesota. Now it's a perfect 3 o'clock game. So go to the game, go home, feed the kids, go out, have a good night.
Hey, man.
Perfect recipe.
The ratings don't matter because you guys got guaranteed TV money, but do you think there'll be an adjustment period for the viewers out there with these new TV deals?
Yeah, I think there has to be. I really think there has to be. First of all, we're on every night. Second of all, we're on three different networks. And then, you know, Sundays and Thursdays are after NFL, or, you know, when's Amazon on? So, yeah, I do, and that's okay. Look, ratings do matter. They are important, but they're not, you know, the end-all and be-all. But we're on TV, national TV, 13 times, and we'll make sure that we let our fans know exactly where we are and where we're playing.
Steve Coonan, Hawks CEO, joining us, guys. When you do this by month, and I have, December, 8 home games, 4 road games. So December, and, you know, you look at some of these dates, it's going to be a busy December. And, you know, Steve, I mean, kids back home from college and all the stuff that's going on, people looking for stuff to do with the holiday season, that's good. And then you look at March, and we get 10 home games and 4 road games. So the end of the season, as tough as it starts, is going to hopefully play into our favor.
Yeah, and I'll let you behind the curtain a little bit. We want games in March and April that mean something, and we want to play at home, which means – we also, here in the South, and we've been talking about this for years, as you guys recall, it's hard to compete with football, both college and NFL. I mean, University of Georgia is the most popular team in this area. So I'd rather not compete, you know, for everything from room on this radio station to tickets to, you know, attendance in November against college football, and then love being there in March when we're by ourselves. So November is a great chance. Sir Paul McCartney was coming into our arena to play multiple shows. Maroon 5's coming to the arena to play shows. On and on and on and on and on.
It's our man, Steve Coonan. He's the Hawks CEO. Kids call him Puffy K. And it should be a great season with this new-look Hawks team. I know we addressed some of this last week for guys who may have missed it, Steve. Now the kids are back in school, so an even bigger audience. But you said, you know, the stuff that was reported by Mark Spears of ESPN about Trae Young not happy about Atlanta not offering him a new contract extension. You kind of said that the timeline was a bit goofy. But you and I said to Carl the other day, I'd like to see what Trae can do just from a fan standpoint with this new-look lineup before I would offer him a new deal. Is that the mindset that the GM and ownership is taking?
Uh-oh.
Well, obviously, as we also said, we're not going to negotiate in the press, so I'm going to just say thank you.
Okay. But, I mean, hypothetically, Steve, if there was a player on another team who had 2 years left, you know,
you
might say,
let's just pretend there's a guy, his name is Ray Old. You know, come on, man.
All right, so basically you're saying nothing to see here, all is well.
Absolutely.
Mike, I think you need to try one more time. It's Friday. Why not? Come
hey,
on.
Man.
Give it a shot. Give it a shot.
Do you feel there'll be some contentiousness between Trae and the Hawks this offseason? Oh, the offseason's got like a week left. You know, before you know it, they'll be doing their thing. In all seriousness, Trae has professed his love for the city. He's been reaching out as a leader to all the young players, the new additions through free agency. So in all seriousness, Steve, do you think this is a non-story?
I don't even want to recognize it as a story. I like to look at it as 45 seconds worth of filler on a Friday afternoon.
All right.
But thank
Carl.
You.
Coonan to Hawks fans. Nothing to see
nothing
here.
Nothing to see here. Nothing to see here.
There you go.
Hey, man, the big matchups, and I say that, the marquee teams, do you feel like the schedule was in our favor in those terms? I mean, like, look, you know, anytime it's the Lakers or Golden State with Steph still, and, you know, even though these guys are older, they're still such a draw. But you've also, but now, like, we play OKC early in the season. They're the champs. That's going to be a big Saturday night game.
Yeah, that game's on sale, and I was literally watching the sales yesterday, and they are flying out the door. And I think the Lakers game goes on sale next week. But if you take a good look at the schedule, we've put the Lakers game, the Knicks game on December 27th, and the Golden State game in March 21st. We're starting those at 8 o'clock because we've all historically seen a lot of traffic coming for those games. A lot of people who aren't regulars down at State Farm Arena. So we felt by moving the start time a few minutes that it would give more people a chance to be in the building. So, yes, we definitely recognize those as very big games.
Yeah, and you know, by the way, Steve, we talked about this yesterday. Kind of came up just in conversation. I know we had 7 o'clock tips. We tried to think about moving them up 7:30. It seems like Atlanta with the traffic, it just is what it is. So you think that 8 o'clock might be something? Is there any market research on this about young families or the fact that
this our second year, and I thought the players were going to tar me and hang me.
Really?
Well, let's say they got to get on the plane to go to Orlando to play the next day. And instead of being on the plane by 11, now they're on the plane by 12.
Yeah.
So the 30 minutes just backs everything up about an hour, and it makes a difference. So for these special Saturday night games, we think 8 o'clock is great. Saturday night, there's no time pressure. People come, you know, especially with Golden State, love to watch the warm-ups with Steph and that ritual. So what we're trying to do is give the fans more time to get in their seats, because historically, and I know this is breaking news, basketball fans actually don't get in their seats at tip.
Yeah, that is breaking. Breaking.
Well, they do in Oklahoma City.
Well, what else is there to do in Oklahoma City?
Steve's words, not mine, Carl.
He's right, though. I mean, like, and this was the thing Mike and I were talking about. We briefly brought it up yesterday because we saw the times change on some of these games, and I was like, this has to be a good thing. There have been plenty of nights where we've done the show from there, and it's 6:30, and we're getting off of the pregame, right? And tips in 30 minutes, and it's like, okay, where is everybody? So to your point, like, people are still making their way. hopefully these 8 o'clock starts will give everybody enough time. And again, it's not every game, guys. I said that yesterday because
some special Saturday night games for the fans.
Yeah, I said that yesterday, and the guy was like, 8 o'clock.
Here's another breaking news.
What's that?
LeBron's old. The later we make him stay up, maybe he'll get sleepy.
He needs a little nappy poo?
Yeah, a little fourth quarter. It's starting to be about 10:15, and it's like serve some milk and cookies on the bench. You know, so we have a plan, gentlemen.
I like it. I like it, man. Our man Steve Kuhn and Puffy K with us here, guys. Hawks CEO, also a proud Georgia alumnus. Just another big scrimmage for Georgia. Kirby, of course, you know, complaining about the first one and this and that. What is your expectation for Georgia this year, Steve? In a world of college football, which again, it is what it is. It's there's parity. There's some teams that, like Texas Carl's, big money grabbing Pac Man, and then there's the poor underdog Georgia Bulldogs. What do you think happens this year?
Underestimate us at your own peril.
You sound like Kirby. that sounds like Kirby, something Kirby might say.
Well, who do you think wrote the line for me?
You can underestimate us all you want to. Yeah look, I can't underestimate him because I still think he's the best coach in the SEC, best coach in college football.
Yep.
I can't do that despite he keeps saying, and he's right, they're young. And you went from all this experience, and again, putting all these guys in the league to, okay, but there is something about having a young team that hasn't accomplished anything, Steve, and the hunger of that. So I think he's going to use that to his benefit. I really do. And also, and the rankings, I mean, you beat Texas last year twice, but yet you start the season behind them. It's like, come on, right? And I don't know if he uses that, but I do think Kirby is a master of all that stuff.
Oh, he is a master. You know, I'll tell you, the Ohio State-Texas game is really going to be interesting. I mean, I can't believe we get a game of that quality early, you know?
Right. Yeah. And the whole fact, you know, I mean, and you're, for the guys who don't know, we do remind folks, because Steve, our audience grows exponentially every week. But Steve was a big TV executive after his time at Coca-Cola. The noon thing, it just works for Fox. It's kind of counterintuitive. Everyone would say that's 8 o'clock. That's prime time. But the noon thing just seems to work for Fox. Why?
Well, the first reason is because everybody else is going with the traditional thinking of 8 o'clock. So it's back to, you know, you want to go where the competition isn't. And what's the SEC game at noon? Mississippi State versus Vanderbilt.
Right. Yeah, it's true. I mean, that is a good point.
Tune me in.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a Texas-Georgia game starting at noon?
No way.
Impossibility.
Right. Yeah. No way.
I mean, we'd have to be getting IVs of alcohol through the night to be ready.
Right on.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, we are capable and willing to do.
I can't wait till that happens. I'm not talking about the IVs. I'm saying the Georgia-Texas game. It's going to be a lot of fun. I've got friends who are asking me already. It's just like Georgia fans. We're going to Texas. Where do we stay? And I'm like, you're probably going to have to stay in Atlanta, to be honest with you, because it's just not enough hotels there to accommodate all the people that, you know, want to be in the action. But as we've said, Steve, it should be a fun and exciting time. Hopefully, we'll see. Maybe both teams are undefeated. I said this to Mike. You know, that will add to the intensity of the game, certainly, if that's the case. Hey, Steve.
By the way, on our schedule, I'll give you. You want to spend a great day? Here's a great day. Georgia, Georgia Tech on November 28th.
The Friday.
Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Right.
That game ends. You walk 300 yards to State Farm Arena, and you see the Hawks play the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Aha, Carl.
Double dip.
Which could be the Emirates NBA Cup, Mike's favorite in-season tournament of all.
Nothing excites me more than in-season championship basketball. Yes.
Yep.
That's great. Yeah, no, you're right. The double dip is real. I did witness
that.
Yeah, I saw that too, because we've been talking. We gave away tickets for that game, and people were scooping them up like, oh, my God, I can't believe you guys are giving away tickets. But you're right. That is the 28th, UGA, Tech, and then you've got Cavs in town that night, and it is a cup night. So, good stuff.
Yep.
Steve, we got to run, man. Great stuff. Have a great weekend. We'll talk next week.
You too. Looking forward to it.
All right.
Steve All right.
Cohen, Hawks CEO. Oof,
who, Carl, who would... when the Cavs are playing the Hawks for that in-season cup, I mean, you throw the records out, man.
Hawks almost, they almost won this thing last year.
Now, would we've hung a banner? Remember we were breaking Steve's chops about that last year?
Yeah, that's true. But they got a chance
small
to
small banner, like a pennant?
Well, I think the Lakers did when they won it. Didn't they? Oh, you might know this. I think the Lakers did when they won the
Yeah, they hung a banner.
Cup. Really?
If the Hawks won one, they can hang it up with the banner with the widespread panning thing.
No, they did take that down. I can't believe the Lakers even hang that with all the tremendous things they've accomplished, with all due respect to Steve.
It's big, Mike. It's big. All right, we're coming back. They cheated. It's that simple. We're going to tell you what the situation and the circumstances are now surrounding it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
As Cam Newton likes to say, it was egregious. Michigan gets fined a lot of money for the sign-stealing situation that happened a few years ago. The Stoops and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and it's a big story in college football today because we didn't know what this might look like. We weren't sure how they would come down on Michigan, but, Mike, they receive a series of fines that could eclipse $30 million. But avoid punitive penalties such as a postseason ban, which means if they make the playoff, they're going to be able to play. Also, they don't have to vacate victories, including the 2023 national championship season. So what is this saying about what Michigan did? Because we now know they cheated. That's what they're telling us. And there are penalties, but are they stiff enough?
Well, I do think that at the end of the day, it could equal over $30 million. Right now it's hanging about 20, but that's chump change. And I would agree with Dave Portnoy, who's a big Michigan alum. That's big money. They've got a huge, huge, you know, a rich alumni base. Ohio State fans, meanwhile, are saying, you know, we had to fire Jim Tressel for guys getting tattoos. You know, I mean, it's just what's going on here. I do think that Jim Harbaugh was certainly complicit. I think that when you go back and you look at the NCAA investigation, guys are saying, well, why didn't they hit him with a bowl? They're not going to hit Michigan with a bowl ban because it hurts the product for the college football playoff.
That's
and the coffers ultimately of the NCAA. But I would say that, you know, you can argue if you're not cheating, you're not trying. But could you imagine the kind of heat from national media from the Midwest if it was Alabama or Texas or Georgia that pulled this kind of systemic, I say Patriots Spygate-style cheating? Because there's a number of articles you can read about this. It's out there, guys. Just Google Michigan scandal. They spent tens of thousands of dollars on this thing. So it was systemic. It was signed off by the coaching staff. The show caused for Harbaugh. Again, Harbaugh skates to the NFL. It doesn't matter. But this is something that certainly didn't affect them in Georgia because Georgia had better players. You can cheat all you want. Georgia's still going to beat your brains in the semifinal win in the Orange Bowl. But it does now, I think, taint the Michigan championship. And the NCAA looks so weak trying to reassert itself. I think this is half-assed.
The ruling by the Committee on Infractions, the COI, is 4 years of probation, financial penalties, and there are other ones, by the way, a $50,000 fine plus 10% of the budget for the football program. I mean, there are other things that are included in this. But the big one for me is a 10-year show cause order restricting Jim Harbaugh from all athletic-related activities during a show cause period, which is to begin August 7th, 2028. And at the conclusion of this 4-year show cause order from the previous case. So basically, Harbaugh, who ran out of Michigan, right? And everybody's like, oh, it's time to go to the pros. Well, no damn wonder. He was trying to get out of there so fast because he knew this was coming down. He's not going back to college football, guys. He's got nothing to prove. He won a national championship for his alma mater. They will love him forever. But the fact of the matter is, he was complicit, as Mike said. But this is the big one because it doesn't affect Michigan right now. And it doesn't affect them in the future because you're punishing a guy who's not there. The Sherrone Moore, current head coach punishment, it's a 2-year show calls order, which is different. And basically, it's you're going to miss a couple of games. He's already been suspended for two. He's got one game he's got to serve in 2026, Mike, and you're talking about, okay, whoop-de-doo. Like, this doesn't hurt the program from a football standpoint.
Right, and here's the funny part. I mean, we talked about the sanctimonious nature of Michigan. For guys, maybe not everybody catches the gist of it, but Michigan looks down their nose at Ohio State. They look down their nose at everybody. They're sanctimonious. Cheat to win a national championship. And now the irony is, and Peter Burns from ESPN tweeted this about a half hour ago, the NCAA says that Michigan purposely destroyed evidence, and then they admitted to destroying evidence. And Michigan is now appealing this decision because, quote, a lack of evidence. I mean, I love this from Peter Burns, who I follow on Twitter. He goes, is Michigan actually saying they destroyed the evidence so well that they can't be punished? That is a bold strategy, Cotton. So, I mean, look, this should be a bowl ban, but they won't do that because it's too big to fail, the brand of Michigan, whether they can beat Ohio State for a fifth year or not. But to me, the nonsense, the complete, Carl, if you want to take it back to Ohio State or other schools that literally had, you know, big-time penalties, and Jim Tressel lost his job, as we said, for impermissible benefits that amounted to nothing by today's standards.
So I've been asking this, you know, how long did this go on? Maybe it was longer. Maybe it was the entire tenure of Harbaugh. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're talking about this punishment that's come down for Michigan and the football program. But, Mike, they say, and again, this is from the report, that over three seasons, right, and Mike's mentioned this, Georgia beat Michigan in one of those seasons. But over three seasons, the football program committed multiple violations, including off-campus, in-person scouting schemes, impermissible recruiting, all this stuff. You couldn't communicate when they did it. They should not have been able to. So there's a variety of rules that were broken on top of the sign-stealing thing, which got all of this going, and to provide the resources to be able to do this. That's why, look, Stallions is a scapegoat. Right. Connor Stallions, he's a fall guy. Yeah, he was involved, and yeah, they did a little documentary on him at Netflix. But, Mike, if you are crazy enough to think that you could do all of this without a lot of people in that program knowing, you're crazy as hell. There were a lot of people who absolutely knew when all of these infractions happened and were going on, and you had Harbaugh literally say, I was taught don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal.
And he's a fraud. Jim Harbaugh is an absolute fraud. You know, his khaki pants. Again, this is all shtick. It's like the guys that do the God Squad stuff. I mean, well, they're full of crap, and they still land on their feet. Harbaugh is a fraud. Now, again, he's a great coach. I still would have took him here. But anyway, he is a guy at Michigan.
Because he wins.
But there's no way. Just like with Belichick. I mean, this is akin to Spygate. You know, in the case of the National Football League, they destroyed the evidence. So we'll never know what exactly the Patriots had, because it was obviously pretty damning if the NFL got rid of it. But this is the same kind of stuff. A guy like Belichick, you think Belichick wastes a minute of anyone's time or energy or money? They spent tens of thousands of dollars on this, did Michigan, as far as hiring people to videotape, the dissemination of the information, everything, to gain an advantage. So, to me, and it's egregious, as Cam was, it's egregious compared to what we've seen other schools. And I think most likely Ohio State fans are going to be livid over this, because they've got a right to be. You know, they've had, remember, I mean, think about some of the things they went through, losing a quarterback, losing a head coach, nonsense. And this is systemic, and this is institutional cheating by Michigan.
The crazy thing is, and by the way, Falcons pregame coming up. Bo and Mike will have you for that. Grant will have halftime and postgame with Mike Johnson tonight as the Falcons get ready for their second preseason game. The crazy thing about this is multiple individuals, including Connor Stallions, including Harbaugh, including Sherrone Moore, failed to cooperate during the investigation. They didn't cooperate, and they still got all of this. So does it change your opinion about that championship? It should. And I also think, for dog fans, tells you what a hell of a job Kirby Smart did in winning back-to-back championships.
Right.
It's unbelievable to believe that you can just, you know what, out-recruit your opponents and work hard and have better play calling and better play execution than your opponent and not cheat. And that is why you should respect what Kirby did in those back-to-back years more than ever now. Because right. This is what it took Michigan to get back to the top of the mountain.
Right. Remember Michigan had their Georgia segment of practice. Remember all that crap? Remember that nonsense? It's a shame that, unfortunately, Georgia, you know, at the time, you know, the wheel spun round, they couldn't have had another chance at Michigan because the depth just wasn't there that season. But, look, Michigan kept its players for that run. You throw in this nonsense, Ohio State. But to the Big Ten, you know, again, shame. Big Ten craps on the SEC like we're all football factories and the rules don't apply. Shame on you guys, man. And I shot back at Dave Portnoy on Twitter today. I'm like, dude, everybody knows where this is at. So Michigan fans can bury their heads in the sand. Everybody knows that's a tainted title.
Let's get out of here, man, and clear our throat. Hey, thanks to our guest, BMAC, Brian McFadden, talking all things NFL, and, of course, Steve Kuhn, Hawks CEO. All the interviews this week online at Odyssey.com. Go check them out. If you missed them, rewind and subscribe to us, Dukes and Bells, so you don't miss our segments and you don't miss our content. We're back at you on Monday, 2 o'clock, man. But coming up, Falcons pregame and the Falcons' second preseason game. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Want to see the offensive line step up, man, because you always need it at some point this season. Do a better job, boys.
I hope so. And for the rest of you, there are competition battles. Pay attention. Some of these guys may help us during the season, even though you might not think it right now. Big O, great job. Day Day as well back at the studio. Hey, if you love the show,
tell your friends.
You don't.
You're a cheater.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.